We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to another episode of New Orleans Dot Football, presented by PJ's Coffee, coming to you live from the Indianapolis Convention Center, where we're here for the NFL Scouting Combine. Been talking to a lot of people, got a lot of good notes and insights and different things to share with you guys. Who's staying, who's going, what we're hearing about the draft, all that, and a whole lot more with my guy, Mike Triplett. If you need a new car, make sure you check out my guy, Matt Bowers, best car dealer in the whole entire world. I'm in Indianapolis, and I'm telling you, nobody's better than him. We've been checking him out just to do a quality control test, and no one compares. Best prices, best customer care. It's where we buy all of our cars. If you need a new one, make sure you check out one of his many dealerships. All right, let's hit these ads. The New Orleans Dot Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. All right, let's get into our lead topic presented by, let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. They have a beautiful engagement salon, so if you need to get an engagement ring, make sure you check them out. But they can take care of all your jewelry needs, reasonable prices, beautiful pieces, great customer care. Go check them out on Maple Street. And while you're there, ask about the Florida Lee earring and necklace that you see on the screen right now. They are specially priced for our NOF audience. All right. How has Dennis Allen's outlook changed after rebuilding the offensive staff? We talked to him today, got some insight with people on and off the record, including Dennis Allen, who talked to us for the first time since he hired Clint Kubiak and revamped his offensive staff. So let's start there. What stood out most about why Allen chose Kubiak, Kubiak's vision for the offense, and how it may affect some of their personnel decisions?
How many times did Dennis Allen use the word run game?
A lot.
He also talked about run play action. I think that was the second most common phrase he used. Look, you did a really good study on how the year that Clint Kubiak spent in Kyle Shanahan's offense, the 49ers actually went away from play action a little bit, but it doesn't sound like that's the plan here. Clint Kubiak, his father, Gary Kubiak, who you know, DA said he studied some of Gary Kubiak as well, even before he dove more into Clint Kubiak. The principles of play action, you know, being under center, having a physical run game, dictating what you're doing to the run game, doing play action off the run game. I mean, it's very clear that that is the part of this offense that attracted Dennis Allen most. and that he thinks it'll be good for Derek Carr. And look, that, I mean, he's mentioned a few times, Dennis Allen has, that you know, how good the offense ran when they started doing a lot more play action late in the year. It made Derek Carr better, made the offensive line better. I mean, just I think the passing game, they feel pretty good about. The run game, they knew was in total state of disrepair by the end of last season. And it's what Dennis Allen has wanted this team to be for 2 years in a row, and they've failed to be now, is a team that can win at the line of scrimmage. I think that is what attracted him to this offense specifically, and Clint Kubiak in particular.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that stood out to me is that, and you know, just talking to people, different people throughout, like, there is a lot, significant value in going back and looking at what Gary Kubiak did in Minnesota, looking at what they did in San Francisco, what Clint Kubiak did, even looking at some of the stuff that Gary Kubiak did before. But they expect it to be a lot like, they want it, the San Francisco offense. They want the motion that they use there. They want to use players in the way that they use players. They've looked at different guys there and tried to envision how their players can fit into, like, a Juszczyk role, or who can be the tight end, or you go look at Miami and who can be, you know, dynamic like Tyreek, and can you bring some of that stuff in? Can you do some of the different things that they do with Deebo Samuel? Like, they are looking at all this stuff, and they studied San Francisco's offense because that's what they wanted. And DA made it very clear, like, that's the offense that gives him a lot of trouble. Like, that is the one that is hard for him to plan against. So
he said that,
that ends up being some of the stuff that you try to – that's often what people end up hiring. They end up hiring the thing that gives them the most trouble.
Yeah.
So that's what they went out and did. But, yeah, they're trying to figure out how the pieces fit together in all this stuff. There's going to be a lot of creativity. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I think is most exciting, is you start thinking about, like, Rashid Shaheed and how he can be used, and how Taysom Hill could be used, and how a fresh set of eyes can look at both these guys and try to – figure it out a little bit. But I think there's still a lot of holes to fill in with it. Jeff Ireland talked today about just, you know, the possession receiver and the ability to have yards after catch, and, you know, how you scout that and all that stuff. He said, you know, it's kind of something that's inherent to you. You don't catch the ball and go down. I think this thing's got a lot of receivers right now that catch the ball and go down. Like,
even Chris Olave, who we think is, you know, depending on probably him or Marshawn Lattimore, the best young asset on the team. I mean, that's an area of his game.
Yeah. So, like, that's something that I think they absolutely have to find. But, yeah, I think it's exciting to kind of think about and hear them talk about it, and the excitement in their voices, and them talking about how excited these guys are watching them. And, you know,
that
all
was
that
really
stuff.
Interesting. Yeah. Like, and look, rose colored glasses. But Dennis Allen mentioned how when they got in these meeting rooms and they heard Clint Kubiak and all these other new offensive coaches, Rick Dennison and John Benton and Andrew Janoco and Keith Williams, this entire staff, how much they liked the talent on the Saints. Like it kind of gave them a boon about, like, yeah, we do have a lot of talent here, because it's like when they're on your team, you see the flaws, and then someone comes in like, I can't wait to work with this guy that has this skill set. And they do have a lot of those guys. Alvin Kamara is one of the guys we talked about, and you had a nugget on NewOrleans.football. Check that out. Everything we've been seeing and hearing, we did a deep dive. But one of them is that Kamara seems really bought into this offense and actually came in and met those guys. They seem bought in on him. I think the Saints feel good about what this can do for him. Obviously, they feel good about what it can do for Olave and Shaheed. And, yeah, I mean, Taysom Hill, I'm really fascinated. I got the feeling from everyone we've talked to that Taysom Hill is very much a part of this team's plans, even though some people look at his dollar amount and think, oh, could he be phased out? I don't think so. I think these new coaches are excited to work with him. How could you not be, especially if you have a creative mind? So just that injection of new ideas, new excitement, or whatever, I think is going to be good for this offense.
Yeah, I think Taysom's going to end up being used in a very creative role. You know, I think you look at what San Fran did, and the whole idea behind it was to create mismatches through personnel and to make things complex through the use of personnel, but, like, have simple concepts. And he's a guy that I think makes things complex. And I think if you kind of expand that role a little bit and you use him in some different ways, you maybe get him blocking a little bit out of the backfield here and there, not like as a primary thing, but enough to make it believable. Then you start moving him around. I think just making him more multifaceted than he's going to be just standing there taking the snap and running QB power. I think that has to change. I think it has to. They always had the want to make him more of a dynamic player, and I think at times they did, but it was inconsistent in usage. Some weeks it was, some weeks it wasn't. I think if you just find a way to be consistent with that and have this is what Taysom does, and this is his role, and every single week. And then when you go ask Taysom, like, hey, like, why'd they use you in this game? Like, he actually has an answer instead of being like, I don't know, man. Like, they just make the game plan and hand it to me. Like, have a consistent vision that everybody kind of understands. This is what Taysom does. I think that ends up making him way more effective.
Because we have rose-colored glasses when we talk about this offense. And I mean, this offense just needed change so much, and I like the tree they're borrowing from. I am reserving a little more judgment. I like what it's going to do for the skill position players automatically. I'm reserving a little judgment about what it will do for the offensive linemen. I mean, as you've pointed out, this offensive line has already tried to run a lot of outside zone at times. Trevor Penning is going to go boom or bust no matter what offensive system he's in. You know, Ryan Ramczyk, we did hear some pretty good things today. We'll talk about him a little bit more on his injury front. But, you know, bringing in a new offense doesn't automatically mean, like, this offensive line is now going to be great. And there's going to be an adjustment period there, too. I think that's what's going to make or break this transition.
Yeah, I mean, look, last year Houston hired the guy that was Clint Kubiak before Clint Kubiak, Slowik. Yep. And he went there, and their offensive line stinks. Like, you got to have the right guys to run this system. You know, but I think the thing that's good, Ramczyk's banged up, but he's, when he's healthy, and he's never going to be healthy again, it's just a matter of how healthy he gets to. When he's healthy, he's pretty fast for a tackle. Cesar Ruiz is extremely fast and athletic for a guard. Eric McCoy is probably the most athletic interior offensive lineman in maybe the whole entire league. James Hurst definitely isn't. Pete, when he's in there, like he's someone that can get down the field. So if they bring him back, there's three guys at least that I think are solid pieces. Saldivari, somebody that can run a little bit. So there's four. So, I mean, if these guys are effective in their roles and you bring back Pete, I think you have some of the pieces to be okay and you're able to do it. I think you got to teach it a little bit better. And then if Penning's someone that can get on the field, he absolutely is somebody that has the athletic traits to be that guy. But it's gotta come together. They got to be effective. They got to be better than they were. But at least on paper, when you look at the athletic traits, there are some of the guys there. But, yeah, I think they got to go and get some more. And just because they have these guys that can run, are explosive, it doesn't mean that they're all going to work out. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I think they got to try to figure out. But it does stress your guys out more. More is required of them. You got to be able to do it effectively. But, man, once you figure it out, it turns good running backs into stars and stars into superstars. And, you know, I think Kendre Miller behind, like, an effective line like that is going to be outstanding. Alvin behind, if the line's effective, he becomes a lot better. So it makes Derek Carr a better play-action passer, all this stuff. Like, it just kind of all builds off it. I like the idea of what they're trying to do, though, because if you're trying to build off the run game and you have a quarterback that isn't top 10, like, that's what you kind of need to do. You got to take pressure off them. You got to make people believe that, you know, Brock Purdy's actually – no, he is a top five guy. Like, no, he isn't. But it makes people believe that when your system's that good. I'm not saying the Saints are going to be able to get it to that point. But it took Tua from almost out of the league to, hey, is he a top 10 guy? Like, this system is that good that it kind of elevates people.
That's true. One other note, when Dennis Allen was talking about his history with the Kubiak family, he said he doesn't know Clint that well, but he's known Gary for a long time because of their Texas A&M ties. Gary was actually coaching there when DA was playing there. So he said Clint was probably around. He didn't even realize he knew him that long. But it was funny that, you know, somebody asked if they talked about bringing Gary Kubiak onto the staff as a senior advisor. Rick Dennison has that role. But I think DA counts him as, like, a free volunteer member of the staff. He said, obviously, I hired his son, so he's going to be around to help out if we need. So you get Gary with Clint, or at least it's how they feel it.
I thought it was a little – I don't know. Like, he said when I first started thinking about Clint, I went back to look at Gary. Like, I don't know, kind of let Clint be his own guy a little bit.
Yeah, let him be his own guy.
Yeah, let him be his own guy. All right, moving on to our next segment, sponsored by Hard Hide, Punch a Tool of Strawberry Whiskey. That is not for the thin skin. This topic, I don't know if it is for the thin skin or not. Depends how your view of certain players are. But, let's try to read some tea leaves on some of the stuff we've been hearing a little bit about some of these guys. I don't know if I want to hit this whole entire list. You got to go to neworleans.football to get all of them, but we'll hit a couple here as far as what we're hearing. Use the code NOF to save 20% on your first payment. But, yeah, Marshawn Lattimore, what do you think? After kind of talking to people, you think he's in? You think he's out?
I mean, this is the thing that we've both been trying to gather information on more than anything else this offseason, and I kind of think it's truly undecided still. I have not heard any indication that it's completely over, that Marshawn will never come back or that the Saints have already decided they're never bringing him back. I think on the Saints end, I think especially now that the cap went up, there's even less financial incentive to do it. I think the Saints are going to have to be blown away with an offer. The side I just have the least information on is how badly Lattimore wants out. If Lattimore, like I said, the nugget you had about Alvin coming into the offices, talking to the coaches, being enthusiastic about it, if Lattimore showed signs of that, I'd take the trade talks all the way off the table. But if Lattimore is checking out, not buying in a little, that's the wild card to me. And I still don't feel like they haven't made a final decision on it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think if they get the right offer, though, I see the trade happening. I think it's definitely something that's definitely possible.
You don't do the thing they did with this contract if you're not exploring the idea.
It's on the table. It's on the table. But look, the cap going up, I think, helps maybe a little bit. Maybe the reasons for doing it lessen a little bit, because it's not like, well, we get rid of them and we get the cap space and we get the draft pick. Like, it takes one thing off the table that you might not necessarily need.
People have had a chance to rule it out, though. We've talked to enough people who have had a chance nobody's to say, no, that's
out.
Not happening.
Yeah,
no one's
absolutely.
Ruling it
no,
out.
Nobody's rolling it out at all. Ramchek, we heard he had the little D.A. said it on camera, actually. He had a minor
cleanup procedure.
Yeah, the thing that sounds nice, but he's not ever going to be better, and that's clear. It's clear, but they feel better about where he's at than they thought they were going to think he was going to be.
We heard more enthusiasm than I even expected, and I think you had heard something a couple weeks ago as well, but yeah, that they said they feel even better than they did a month ago. Like they've been getting good reports, and that's great to hear. And look, just the fact that the difference between this year and last offseason is last offseason, Ramchek entered the offseason thinking he had a good plan, because it had worked well the year before. He liked his entire offseason. He said it wasn't until like week one or two that he got banged up and he just never really recovered from it. But this year, I think he knows he needs an even better, more aggressive plan for how to treat it, how to rest it, whatever. So I think for at least another year, they're going to hope that that's all it takes, is a cleanup procedure and a smarter plan. And great if it does. If he misses 6-7 games again this year, then I'm even more worried, though.
Do you think they're paying him $17 million this year? Do you think he gets that full 17?
I mean, I think they would love to say, hey, can we make it 10 and the other 7 are, you know, per game incentives? But what's his incentive to say yes to that? Like, they're not going to cut him, you know? So if you can't, if you're not really threatening to cut a guy, the only guys who take paychecks are the ones who don't want to be out in free agency.
Hold on. Let me pull up his contract real quick. Like, the reason this is, I mean, I don't think you can just say, hey, like, take less money and then there's no follow through. Like, what's your reasoning for doing that? Like you said, like, it doesn't make any sense going that way. But let's say you want to lower that $17 million base salary, and then next year he has 18. I don't know. Maybe you tell him, hey, take it down to 13 and 15. And we'll guarantee it for two years. Yeah, that would be the reason to do it. You got to give him a little bit something back. His knee being where it's at, like, I think – he says yes to that,
but
probably.
Do you want to do that? Do you want to guarantee next year's salary?
if you have to lower that number, and if you know, they have better information than us. Like, if your information's saying that, like, okay, we're not going to give up yet. Like, okay, even if he gets hurt this year, like, we're gonna give it another year or something.
It's tough. It's tough. There's no easy answers with Ryan Ramchek.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. Maybe you don't guarantee all of it, but you just guarantee a little bit more a year from now or something, and guarantee all of it this year or something like that. Like, that would be kind of what you would have to do it. But yeah, I don't see him getting that $19 million in 26. You know, I'll tell you that. Like, I just don't see that kind of happening.
There's an expiration date, unfortunately, too many guys on this roster.
Mike Thomas, gone?
I'm always hesitant to say, yeah, he's gone, because he surprised us last year and he bought in so, you know, convincingly. Like, once he bought in, he really bought in. But boy, I would bet. I'd bet a significant amount of money against him being gone this time. Like, I haven't heard it. Every tea leaf I've gotten has been Michael Thomas moving on, and I certainly haven't had anyone try to convince me otherwise.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I just don't see him coming back here. I don't think it makes sense for them. I don't think it makes sense for him. I think he just has reached a point where it's like, you know, go out, play for a contender, man. Like, you gave a lot here. You had best season in NFL history. I think it's just kind of time for everyone to move on. It just kind of feels like it's at that point. If you want to hear about Jameis Winston, Alvin Kamara, Taysom Hill, Trevor Penning, Marcus May, Jamal Williams, and what the future holds for these guys, make sure you go check out neworleans.football. Use the code NOF, save 20% on your first payment. We got insight on where we think, what we're hearing, what's it going to be for them, how are they coming back next season, or are they not coming back next season, our best guesses on all that stuff. Go sign up for the site, get that taken care of, and we'll be right back by the time you finish your sign up. Let's hit the ups.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience. Welcome back to Indianapolis, where we are coming to you live from the NFL Scouting Combine. All right, let's get into our money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. The cap increase obviously was good news for the Saints. How do you think it's going to affect their aggressiveness in free agency? Are we going to see the splash signing, or is it still going to be kind of like, you know, high mid-level at best?
I think from everyone we were able to talk to, I think it was a very, not even, I don't want to say pleasant surprise, but like they consider that a big help, obviously.
Yeah.
They, you know, just like everyone was reporting, they didn't expect it to go that high. That helps a lot. But will it change anything they're doing? I think they probably wanted to go into this offseason and not cut anyone for financial reasons, maybe football reasons. They could really bring back everybody, but like we've mentioned Marcus May as a name. Like, I'm not 100% sure it would have to be, is he worth that money? We just had the Ryan Ramczyk discussion, but those will be football versus salary decisions. They clearly don't have to cut anyone just because of their cap figure. Now, if they didn't want to do that before, it may affect Marshawn Lattimore a little bit. Maybe that would have been more of a final, yeah, it's only a second round pick, but we're also going to save some money. And maybe that's less of that conversation. So I think it could, but it doesn't sound like it's going to make a big difference in their free agency because they're still kind of catching up on that cap. Like, obviously, last year they signed Derek Carr. Obviously, they still want to be competitive. Obviously, they want to still re-sign all their important players. But I did not get the indication that like extra $10 million is going to be transitioned immediately into paying an extra $10 million for a top free agent this year.
It felt like the thought process was more centered on getting out of debt a little bit. Like, that's where they kind of want to end up and maybe not go out and make the big signing. I think that they have a desire to clean up this cap a little bit, and they should. They obviously should. I mean, last year they went out, they got Derek Carr because they kind of had to. Like, the quarterback kind of – if you have a strategy and you feel like you have a path to a quarterback and you don't have a quarterback, you're always going to take that path and all bets are off. But I think – that their thought process for the last several years, and we've been hearing this every year, is that they want to get that cap a little bit better. You know, obviously COVID affected things. They feel like they're still behind the eight ball on that a little bit, trying to dig their way out of it. So, yeah, that increase I think is something that they're going to try to just leave alone, and they're going to get to where they need to be to maybe add a couple guys, remain competitive, try to win the division again. But I don't think they're going to go out and try to sign Josh Allen. Yeah. You know, that's just not in the cards. I think at some point they want to get to a spot where – they can chase after the big money guys, but I don't think they believe they're there right now. So it's going to be interesting, though. Like, this is a team where it's kind of like if you dangle the carrot in front of them and they can bite it, like they often end up
up convincing themselves.
Yeah, but I mean, look, a lot of that was Sean Payton's DNA. So we'll see if that measured approach is kind of there. But since he left, like, we saw him try to go all in for Deshaun, then they went all in, so to speak, for Derek Carr. We'll see.
And they have been pretty measured. Look, we just did the episode the other night where we went through every free agent signing. The year COVID hit, they basically signed nobody in 2020. Tano Passanio, Nick Vanette, Alex Arma. That was like the whole class. But look, they've had Tyrann Mathieu, Marcus May level guys, $9 million a year. level guys that they've still signed beyond just Derek Carr. Obviously, Colin Saunders, Nathan Shepard were more like $4 million a year guys or whatever. Foster Moreau. So they're going to add those type of guys, but they could still make a big impact with like a Tyrann Mathieu level signing.
That's upper
That's $9 million a year is what he was. So I still think they're not going to just catch up on the cap and not try to be competitive, but I think they're taking themselves out of the splash market.
Yeah, I mean, you can still get a big name, though, not right. Like, that's a big name. Marcus May was a pretty big name.
Maybe you can pay Za'Darius Smith 1 year, $13 million, and they still count that as being not unreasonable with what they have to spend or something like that.
Would you throw your hat in the ring for Jonnu?
Maybe. He had a really good year for Atlanta, but that makes me feel like he might cost more than he's really worth. But I mean, that's when we talk about free agency, I think a pass rusher and a pass catcher might be the two most expensive additions to this team. So Jonnu Smith, Dalton Schultz as a tight end instead of a Tyler Boyd type of big slot receiver. I don't hate the idea.
I like it. I would consider it for sure. I don't know. Just kind of having that type of tight end. Like I like it. If you got a couple of them, even better. Like you can do some creative stuff that kind of creates some mismatches and stuff. And that's what this is all about. So yeah, but no, I'm with you. I didn't get the sense that we're gonna have like the day one.
Woo-hoo,
like, oh my
god, we got
god.
All this extra money to spend.
Yeah. Just in,
who's
it's
the
not
next
going that
bird?
And I kind of wondered though, like if they were gonna talk themselves into doing that because it just feels like a do or die season. And that's still the thing though. Like if there's an opportunity that presents itself that they feel is game changing, I don't know if I 100% believe that they're saying just like absolutely not. Like if there's that game changing thing and it's right there for them. I can see them talking themselves into it, but it seems like the plan is for a more measured cap clearing type approach. And, you know, I think it's warranted. I think that's where they're at right now. All right, let's go on to the Martin's question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of handpicked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and so much more. Martin's, so much more than just wine. This question is from Achilles02222 on Twitter. Should there be more heat on the front office / coaches for the misses on early round draft picks? I feel the player often gets the brunt of it when it should be the other way around on them for making the decision. What say you?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, if we haven't put enough heat on the Saints, it's my number one reason for this team's lack of success. It's not the cap. And we spend so much time talking about the cap, but it's letting the cupboard run dry on young talent. I mean, they haven't had enough draft picks because they trade multiple picks to like trade up for one guy. They used two firsts on Marcus Davenport. They used extra capital the year that they went for Chris Olave and Trevor Penning. And, you know, they did stay put for Cesar Ruiz. They stayed put for Peyton Turner. But like this has to be the nucleus of their team right now. And it's not. And yeah, a lot of that is coaching. You know, maybe coaching could have gotten more out of Trevor Penning. Maybe coaching could have got more out of Cesar Ruiz earlier. Maybe, you know, everybody's to blame. But yeah, I don't think anything has cost this team more than not hitting at a higher percentage and not hitting any home runs really on a first round draft picks in a long time.
Brzee might be one though, man. He has a potential. He had what, 4.5 sacks last year. I mean, that's a really good number for an interior pass rusher. I think he has potential. I think Kendrick Miller has big time potential. You know, Jordan Howden is a fifth round pick. I think has big time potential. A.T. Perry has like legitimate big time potential. So I think last year's draft class has a chance to get them back on the right page, especially if you get anything from Foskey. I think that changes one from like solid to like possibly really good. Yep. Like even if he just becomes like a rotational 4 or 5 sack guy, you know, somebody that can help you chase down athletic quarterbacks. I think there's a chance for that. Last year's draft, I think it was definitely a step in the right direction. And then, you know, that 22 class with Olave and Taylor, like Penning kills it. Like brings it way, way down. But you got two hits there. But you know, there was a handful of really bad drafts before then. You know, it's just not been the level to it. But yeah, they got to draft better.
Werner and Debo were pretty good second and third round pick. I'd go ahead and do that again if they'd gotten more out of Peyton Turner in the first round. But it's also they just by the nature of how they do things, they have so few picks every year that, you know, two hits per class, two solids per class isn't enough either. Like the young nucleus of this team has been pretty gutted.
Yeah, the 18 draft is terrible. But, like, the first round picks overall, though, like, even, you know, just throwing them all in there, throwing Brzee and Olave in there with them, like, it's not okay to have like two misses and an okay and then two hit. Like you gotta hit at a higher level. Like you just have to. Like, and if you want to be a top tier team, like that's just kind of what you got to do. You got to consistently be bringing in these guys, and they've put so many resources specifically on that defensive line, specifically on that offensive line, and there's no return. Yeah. There's like no return on it. Like you're drafting all these guys on the O-line and then Caesar's your best player. Like that's not okay. Like that can't be the thing. And look, like I think Caesar's a hit. Like I think they hit on that pick, but when you're drafting a first round guard, like they should be a Pro Bowler every year. Like they just really should. That's kind of the expectation
at that
point.
Of yeah. using that pick yeah. on a guard. And look, like I said, I mean, the reason I blame the drafts, and look, the draft is the most inexact science in the league. There is no team in the league who has hit on five straight draft classes. I mean, the Niners, who are doing things as well as anybody else, traded like multiple firsts for Trey Lance. They didn't, you know, they didn't get a really good pick out, even with the extra picks they got for being the team that traded down the Mitch Trubisky year. They, you know, they got a defensive lineman that didn't last, Solomon Thomas or something like that. I mean, they've missed two. The Eagles have missed two. Everybody has missed. But that is just no matter what you want. If you think the Saints should be a rebuilding team, a tear it down and rebuild a team, if you think they should be contending now, either path, having young, cheap talent that is core players on your team is a must. And that's what makes their current situation so daunting. They don't have that right now.
Well, I mean, they got to go like 5 for 5 or whatever. Yeah. How many picks do they have this year? I don't even know how many picks they have.
They only have two real picks.
Yeah,
I mean,
and then they got the comp
their
picks.
Their third pick right now isn't going to come until either the end of the fourth or the middle of the fifth. Yeah.
Like, they have to hit on all of them because they have no picks. You have no margin for error. Like, that's the thing that bothers me more. Like, have the ammunition to miss shots and be able to overcome it. But, like, the way they're operating, like, you know, you go to 20, they did a four-pick draft class and went, you know, 1 for 4. And that's just a bad way to live. And then the year before, they got 5 picks. And, I mean, yeah, they hit on CJ, they hit on Ellis, they hit on McCoy, but, like, only one of them's still here. So, I don't know, those hits really hits if you aren't getting them to a second contract. They're temporary hits, but you gave yourself 5 swings. Like, it's just not a good way to operate. And we know their thought process is always like, well, you could take 2 lesser players or 1 better player, but man, just because you're picking higher, it doesn't always mean that's going to be the right. There's so many cases of like somebody being picked after somebody and then being better. Like,
well, look, that draft class right there, Peyton Turner, Pete Werner, Paulson Adebo. It's like each pick got better as they went.
Yeah. Like for real. So, yeah, I mean, I know that's your thought process. You trust your scouting, all that stuff. But, like, I don't know. Just having the picks is usually a very good strategy. Trading up every single year, I don't know. It just feels like that's not the best way to go about it. When you have that much conviction, I'm all for it. When you got to have somebody and that you're right, great. But I don't know how you can feel that way every single year, knowing how inexact the draft actually is. That's my biggest issue with their strategy, is that there's just so many thin draft classes, and they're about to have another one. And the options
Thank
are
God
trade
they traded
Marshawn.
Sean Payton for 2 picks. Like, the options. What if they didn't have those picks?
The options are have 2 picks in the first 40, right? Or the first 4 rounds. Is that what it is? 2 picks in the first 4 rounds?
Yeah.
Or trade Marshawn Lattimore to get another one. Like, I don't like the options.
Well, what they will do, what they definitely will do, is use – they've got 3 comp picks coming, all maybe at the end of the 5th round, possibly the end of the 4th round. They haven't been announced yet. But they will definitely package a few of those to get into round 3. That – you can take to the bank.
Which is great. Like, it's great. Do it. Like, fine. But, like, just hang on to those early picks. You can't be trading them every single year. That's my biggest issue with their strategy. And I'm not, like, a big trade-down guy, accumulate picks either. Right. I just have your ammo and have your ammo to fire.
One thing to say, and we were actually talking to somebody about this earlier, and I don't remember who, but it popped into my mind that when you do – it depends how low you're getting. I mean, if you can get – 2 top 50 picks, great. They're probably both going to be really good players. But once you get to a certain point of the draft, I am not about volume either, because I think there is value in the Isaac Yiadoms of the world. Like I would rather have the 14th pick in the draft and Isaac Yiadom than a second and a third.
No, I'm talking.
You know
early.
What I mean?
I'm talking early on, yeah.
Right. So at a certain point, I get it. You volume guys that are just guys, you can get those guys in free agent. You can hit just as big on free agent signings or whatever. But yeah, it's top 50 picks. They haven't had enough of those guys come in the door.
Yeah, or if you're good at UDFA, you know, that's another way to go about it. But every now and then, them late picks, you know, end up being Jordan Howden and A.T. Perry.
Yep.
But, I mean, most often they aren't. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. They've actually done a decent job drafting kind of Well, not really. There's been a handful of later round picks, but it's very inconsistent, which you would expect. But yeah, I'm with you on that. I think I'm fine with trading fifth round picks, sixth round picks, seventh round picks, whatever. Like, if you want to go up and there's somebody you love, fine. Like, I'd rather you draft someone you love in the fifth round instead of like a couple maybes. Like, yeah, you can fill in for that other places, and they do have pretty good pro scouting. Parrington and, you know, those guys do a good job. One of their scouts,
Justin Matthews, got an award today
for pro scouting. Yeah, so I mean, they do a solid job of that. So yeah,
and look, speaking of guys who got an award, I mean, they do a good job. Jeff Ireland obviously does a good job. I think every time he doesn't get poached away from another team, that's good for the Saints. Nobody hits 1,000%. Mike Baugh, the national scout, probably, I feel like he gets an award here every year. Casey Talley got one this year. These guys all do a good job, and we're not necessarily saying that, but it's just like when you have so little to show for it because of the low volume of picks, and Marcus Davenport took two of them, and you know, I mean, the only reason they had a first-round pick this last year was from the Peyton trade. It's just they're not working with enough volume either. So those two things conspire together, but the one silver lining, if we're going to put a silver lining on the end of it, is that's going to help them get out of their cap problem too, because they got into this cap problem when they hit on the entire 17 draft and they paid like four different guys at the absolute top of the market when they hit free agency. They don't have anybody coming up for a $20 million contract anytime soon on this roster.
Yeah. All right, that's all we got for you guys today. We're going to keep breaking down the combine. We have all your coverage on New Orleans Football. Make sure you check it out. Use the code NOF to save 20% on your first payment. We'll be back later this week with another episode. Thanks for checking us out.